Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. This is your Rainbow Coalition of Rock Medicine Women edition. Thank you for joining us. My name is Beata, and we're on the Buffalo Trail once again with the Blue Chip Orchestra. We are on the move, on the move. The sounds of our Native American voices. And tonight we're going to talk about downsizing, something that the topic that's coming up frequently in my life. And maybe it's a thought that you're having as well. So the question is, how do you know when it's time to downsize? The Buffalo Trail gives us a sign. Are you walking in the rhythm of the natives who picked up their tent and moved when it was time to move? That's one of our signs, brothers and sisters. Do you know when it's time to move instead of be still? Well, that's the thought we want to have today, and it's important to look into your thoughts tonight and understand what your beliefs are. because our thoughts come from beliefs. Beliefs become thoughts. And then thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. Habits become values. And values become destiny. And I believe those are the thoughts and words from that either the Dalai Lama or Buddha or one of those Eastern philosophies. Deep thoughts, beliefs and thoughts, words, actions, habits and values. That's what we're talking about tonight. And I'm thankful to have my sister AZ joining me once again and all the way from Arizona. Sister AZ, are you there?
I don't know.
You're questioning.
Does it sound like me? It could be a clone
like
right now. I don't know. Yes, ma'am. Give thanks.
We give thanks. Yes, we're still breathing. The planet is still rotating. The sun is still sitting still, as our sister reminded us last week. The sun doesn't move. We're the ones who are supposed to be on the move, going around the sun. So you're out there in Native American territory. And actually, this is Native American territory here as well. I'm starting to see the history in Florida of the Seminoles and all these other tribes. They're everywhere.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
Yes. Yes,
they're calling
ma'am. Thank us for you bringing that up.
They're calling us. I think the tribes, the ancestors' voices are calling us to simplify our lives and keep moving to heal the planet and use the wisdom and understanding that we have to heal the nations.
That's
and
right.
So it's important that we talk about these things that are holding us back. What's holding us back? We're diving into downsizing, but actually it's diving into our beliefs and our thoughts that we are carrying with us. Instead of carrying those tents from place to place, we're carrying these beliefs that are almost dragging us down and keeping us from being on that buffalo trail where we roam from place to place to heal and to help others to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Wow.
So what's happening out there in Arizona, in your part of the world?
Well, one of
you're snowing,
my students,
I see.
Yes, ma'am. That is a young sister who is positioning herself for teaching her tribe, her young ones, how to be creative and come up with very interesting decor for the tiny houses or the tiny, I see it, sister. I'm not joking. I'm just overwhelmed right now. I've been in a cocoon for 3 weeks in prayer because my body just kind of shut down. Due to water, very minimal juices, and just be and pray. And that's a challenge when I'm in the desert because I'm not really acclimated to the desert, even though I was born here. And the longer I stay away in the green vegetation, I'm missing the greenness. The woods really, it's really vexing my spirit. However, I'm just dealing with it until the Creator opens up that door. for me to carry on my mission. And it's a challenge. So I've had to do a lot of breathing, a lot of being silent, not going out. 3 weeks I have been in this space in meditation and prayer and just being, whether I liked it or not, and just asking the Most High for guidance to bring the people in my life to assist me to downsize, to make this cross-country journey to move forward so that I could do what I came to the planet to do. And sometimes it requires patience. So I'm breathing.
Hallelujah. And don't sigh. Blessed. Breathe deeply. Breathe deeply. Thank you, Yah. Thank
yes,
you, Yah. And you know, that brings to me the need that we have to prepare for what's ahead. And I've been there where you are. And today I had a new awakening in my mind and my thoughts and my beliefs even. As I'm searching for a place to park
Wait a minute. Hold up, sister. Excuse me. What did I hear you say? Belief season?
Yes.
Is that what I like the seasons, the different fall, summer, and all of that? Seasons?
Seasons of our life, yes.
It's
the weather, not just the weather, but the seasons of our lives on this journey.
Yeah, the leaf seasons.
I'm struggling with getting rid of all the things that I've collected over 60 years, I guess you could say. And books is a big part of them, but I went to a place today where they park tiny houses. They also have RV trailers, but a lot of tiny houses. This is the first time I've seen a tiny house kind of village. They're actually the manager gave me a tour of all the tiny houses, and what I discovered is that this place is more than just a place for tiny houses. It's a place of teaching. They are teaching.
Go ahead, sister. Go ahead with your bad self.
I don't mean to
interject, but hot dang, the Most High is a bad never general. A bad never Do you know, sister, I saw this when you came. Even before you came, sister, I saw what you are telling me. You investigated. Hot dang. Sister, thank us, because just confirmed what I have been seeing in my visions about you, and I'm not going to get all carried away. Thank us, because I don't care what anybody else says about Mama AZ. She's a fool. She's crazy. She's out for lunch. That's just your opinion. Sister Beata, you have no idea, my sister, of what the Most High, the ancestors, the ascended masters, the angels, the cherubims, and all of them bim-bims and everybody else is helping us from the other side. If we listen, you see, and open up our mind, our third eye, the pineal gland. Sister, I love us. I give thanks because I've been torturing myself, wanting to stay in a mode, and I'm not saying, okay, I'm not hearing it. No. Thank us, sister. I'm hearing it. I hear you. And I saw this about you, and now you and my child sneaked up on me today. She didn't really sneak up on me. I saw it before she came. However, I didn't overstand it. And then she called me, and I'd be darned if she didn't call me a second time and say, Mommy, open the door. I said, the door is open. I was just playing with her. However, she was outside my door. Sister V, out to my daughter, the truck driver, was outside my door. I just wrote in my journal 2 days ago about you and all and my children and all of this crap that I'm going through. We people, we must downsize. We must downsize people, places, and things. If it's our children, our mamas, our daddies, and all the above, if it does not work, if it does not serve you, curb as best that you can, ask for help to help you to downsize, to detach. Okay, I'll be quiet. Go
well,
ahead.
That's awesome. That's awesome. See, the season you're in is transformation and transition, I think, for both of us, being on in different states and different states of mind, states of belief. And this place that I'm looking at is teaching the homeless who have nothing to dwell in simple dwellings. To dwell in smaller dwellings. And so how can I, if I'm going to teach, then I have to be in that same space, in that same belief. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The belief that I have. How could I be teaching the homeless and those who have nothing how to dwell in a simple, small dwelling if I'm not dwelling there as well? And so it's starting to come together. The downsizing is all about helping the helpless, helping those who are struggling to be at this place of simplicity. Because homelessness is really about simplifying your life. I had a friend who was homeless for over a year, and now she's going to be moving into her own place, her own home, a one-bedroom, one-bath home, because her father left her a house. But it took a struggle with homelessness for her to get to the place she's at now, to really appreciate this tiny house and to really appreciate the struggle that she had to go through to let go of all her belongings and put them in storage. Now, that's the other issue we have for a lot of folks, is storage business is big because people are not letting go of their things. They're letting go of some of them, but then we have to store a lot of them because of what? What are we storing them for? Because it's part of who we are. We believe. Let's start at the belief, because we believe that's who we are, because these things are valuable. And so our thoughts are in things instead of people. If we are storing a lot of things and spending money on storage units and not spending the money and time on people, investing the money on time and people, then that's where our circumstances are teaching us things. Why are we investing our time and money in storing things and not investing our time and money in people and educating people and training people and helping people? And so the time has come for many of us to let go of the material goods. Now, there was an article in my local paper that said 5 sure signs that it's time to downsize. Now, this article was all about homes, your home that you've lived in with your family. So it's talking about, do you know when it's time to downsize your family home and start a new chapter in your, quote, home ownership? But when you take this to the spiritual level, the only home we really have is this human body.
Yes.
And so we have to really get put things into perspective as to what is our home and what are we here to do, because we have all gotten into the American dream syndrome. Many of us have gotten into the American dream that we need to have a big house, big car, and a lot of stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the way
yes,
we
ma'am.
Think. And so we accumulate the home and the stuff, and then we don't maintain the home and the stuff, and so we lose sight of the real home, the human body, which is the precious vessel of gold that our Creator gives to be mobile on this earth, to move around and touch others, and to invest in others. Why are we investing in others? Is the, one of the reasons we have to ask ourselves if it's time to downsize. Now, the number one sign that this article talks about, and I thought I'd go through these and we can talk about them on another level, because this is only on a material level. Now, the number one sign is that home repairs and maintenance are eating up your budget. If you have to make a choice between getting a new water heater installed and buying groceries, prescriptions, it's time to downsize.
Yes.
Are we making choices between eating the food we eat and the material things, a water heater, and the other items that we think we need? What are we believing in? Where are our values? Are we going to maintain? Can we afford to maintain the house and eat properly, or are we more concerned with a new water heater or a new carpet or a new furniture, new tables, new chairs? This is really a question about values, in my opinion, is where are our values, where are our beliefs? And so we start maintaining the things more than we do even our own bodies. I was married to a man who spent a lot of time and energy maintaining the automobiles that we drove. But his own house was overweight and taking several prescription medications because he wasn't dealing, maintaining, and investing in the house.
That's right.
And so the Creator allowed us to get rid of that house. We sold that house, and the rest is history. But it's like, what are our beliefs in how we should take care of the house versus the body, temple house? And how much time and investment should we be spending in those things?
I really appreciate, Sister, I can exhale. I appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. Sister, I know the Creator is hearing my mantras, my prayers, my affirmations, the whole nine yards. I know just by the little bit that you have said in this short time that we've been on this blog talk. You know, sometimes people, you have to shut the heck up and be quiet and just listen to your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
People, you must have a conversation with your higher self. And you, Sister Viata, Vanilla B, my daughter Muffin, you have really, and even the young sister who's here, who's creating, you've really given me confirmation to say, hey, Mama Z, hey, well, Paris or Robbie or you know, hello, I hear you. I hear you talking.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you now. So I give thanks to the Most High.
Hallelujah. So let's see, the number two sign that it's time to downsize, it's what percent of your house do you live in? If you live in only 25% of your home, that's a good indication that it's time to downsize. So it's for an example, Let's say you have 5 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, a kitchen, a great room, a dining room, and a living room, all equal about 13 rooms. You live in your bedroom, kitchen, and 1 bathroom for the most part. Now, that's only 25% of your home. But what about when there are visitors or holiday dinners? The addition of those seasonal occurrences still only uses about 40% of your home. So it's time to downsize to a more manageable space to avoid the dust in the other unused 75% of your home, which creates sneezes in your well-lived-in 25% of your home. I watched the documentary recently called The Queen of Versailles. Have you ever seen that documentary? It's a Netflix documentary.
No,
where
ma'am.
The man who actually owned Westgate Resorts, he actually built a building in Vegas, and he was a billionaire. It's a billionaire family. So they decided they were going to build a 90,000-square-foot house. And they started on this project, and before they could finish it, the man basically almost went bankrupt because the real estate market changed and the timeshare business shifted and got worse, and that's what the majority of his income was from, timeshares. And then, on top of that, they were still trying to keep this house and finish building this 90,000. It was believed to be the biggest house in America, bigger than the White House. And before they could finish it, again, their daughter, their teenage daughter, committed suicide. That shifted everything. They don't even want to go near this house when the report came out recently that they haven't even been in that house. They have no interest right now to finish that house. So the circumstances in our lives are always teaching us what the ancestors and what our Creator is saying to us. And whether it's our health or our home falling apart or an accident of some kind, just as you said, Sister AZ, it's a time to be quiet and listen when your circumstances like that happen, where you have set goals to do some big, huge project like that 90,000-square-feet house. Who thinks about that? And then all of a sudden the market shifts, you can't finish this house, and you have a death in your family. A teenage daughter commits suicide or has an accidental overdose of anti-anxiety meds or something like that. So the question becomes, are you looking at the circumstances? Are you looking at how many rooms in your home body are actually being used, including your brain? What percentage of your brain are we using to do what we've been called to do?
Wow.
Otherwise, and the circumstances for sure are telling us that we are not on the right path or that we need to change our belief system.
That's right.
Because our thoughts create these circumstances.
That's right. That's right, sister. That's right. I'm not sure of who we may have on the line, but I had asked Brother Keith, who was here in AZ, Arizona, to chime in. He's now in Seattle. Do we have another call?
No, there was one other caller on there, and that's not, I think I know who that is, but no, I don't have any new person on there as of yet.
Okay.
So we welcome anyone listening. If you're listening on the computer and you would like to join the conversation, then you can call 215-383-5863 and join in on downsizing and how are you doing in this area or not doing in this area. Are you collecting more and more stuff and opening up more storage units, or are you beginning to give away your stuff? I have someone who keeps telling me, well, you need to sell this and you need to sell that. And my thought is a lot of times is I don't think I need to sell anything. I just need to give stuff away at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe in the principle that I will, whatever I give away, it'll be received triple or
double.
I will get back what I give away. And I'm not in a position where I really, really, really need the money right now. I've been blessed to be in a place of abundance right now, and I believe it's going to continue because my heart is in the right place. I think what you're going to find when you start downsizing is you're going to receive more of the things that you need most in life, and that's wisdom and understanding and knowledge and opportunities to love others and to be loved. It's not just it's not just giving things up for the sake of making room and having less stuff, but downsizing has become a blessing to let go of, detach from the things that are holding back your own blessings. Because if you're holding on to stuff and it's collecting dust and you're just moving it from place to place to place and you're not finding any value in it, if you're not investing your time in other people, because if you look around in this society, oh my goodness, there's such a need to invest love in people. People are starving for love and attention.
Yes.
People are lost and lacking wisdom big time, more than I don't think I've ever noticed it as much as I have lately, but there is certainly a big need for wisdom and understanding in this society that we live in. And so my journey today to a tiny house location brought me new insight, new wisdom, understanding about what I need to do to teach everyone in that place or everyone in my area how to let go of your stuff and be blessed with peace. What is more valuable in our lives than to have peace within, so that anything that happens in our society does not disturb us? Because if you don't have the peace within you, then everything around you, chaos, tribulations, turbulence, traumas, it's going to affect you. But we on this show, the Rainbow Coalition, Rock Medicine, we want to invite our listeners to get into a place where nature brings you peace, where harmony with our Creator brings you that peace that you need on the inside. And Sister AZ, we do have a caller on the line, so if you want to invite your friend again to chime in, go ahead. I don't know what the phone number is, though, if you can tell me.
Okay. I'm not sure. I think it's 4-something, but Brother Keith is out of Seattle, and I'm not sure, Brother Keith, if you're there. I hope that you are, because we had a good blog talk, a conference. I call it the round table at the kitchen table university. We had a round table discussion, and it was awesome. And Keith, he's the host of this blog or round table discussion. Are you there, Keith?
If you're there, Brother Keith, hit number 1, and I'll know it's you on the studio board. Otherwise, that could be another caller. Okay, that must be Brother Keith. I'm going to open up Brother Keith. Brother Keith, welcome to Rainbow Coalition Rock Medicine Women. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, thank
you. You're more than
welcome.
What an interesting topic.
How is it up in Seattle these days?
It's been sunny and fairly warm, typically in the 80s, upper 70s with a few 90s here and there. So we've been having some very pleasant summer weather.
Oh, my goodness, sunshine in Seattle.
In the summer, it's... Yeah, in the summer is one of the best kept secrets.
Okay. Well, I guess
Seattle
I just visited the wrong time because I've been there twice and it was mostly rainy and cold when I was there.
Oh, okay. That would not be the summertime. Usually it's
no.
In the 80s and around there. So, yeah. And occasionally
yeah,
we get little sprinkles in the summer, but nothing like it is in the winter months for sure.
Okay. Well, bless you in Seattle. It's another corner of the earth. In fact, it's like from Florida to Seattle is one corner, and then we go down to Arizona, and then we just need a New Yorker on the line, and we'll have all
corners.
Oh,
there you go.
Covered.
All right.
But until
Absolutely.
Then, we'll cover it. Three is a good number, and so we're talking about downsizing because the winds are blowing in Arizona and Florida. And how are the winds of downsizing doing in Seattle?
You know, as I listen to your conversation about the downsizing, there's a number of things that come to mind with me. And one, I think Mama AZ talked about the seasons and the changing times. And many of us, I think particularly when we reach a certain age, there becomes that time where things aren't as necessary as they used to be. Say like when we were 25 and thinking about raising a family and having kids and buying a new home and having transportation and having that correct job and all these other type of things. But when you get into the ages of, say, 50, 60, 70, 80s, the needs actually become a little different. And things aren't quite as important as they used to be. Like you mentioned about the house and the body being the house. And it's important to take care of that house because things have changed, things have shifted, and particularly if we want to stay on this planet as long as possible, health for sure becomes very important, and not just physical health, but mental health as well. So I see many dynamics with this particular topic of downsizing, and they're all very valuable and important to look at.
Yeah, because I always look at my dad. He's 90 years old, and he has a wife who's she's close to 70. She's a little younger than he is, and their house is what I call the house of excess. When you have that gap, I think in ages, the wife is a huge clutterer in my opinion, and she's holding on to everything, and my dad can barely move. He's got a cane, and he's His values are just reading and watching the Christian TV every day and trying to get some food in him because he's getting frail. And I see the belief systems, you're so right about when you go get up in age that your belief systems have changed. And while she's still clinging to her stuff, my dad is just being grateful about being in overtime. He was a football player, so he considers himself in overtime, and he doesn't know when the game's going to be over, but he knows he's in overtime. So he's not clinging to the stuff as much as she is, and it's causing him lots of health problems, I think, because of their different beliefs and different values. So this is the other area of needing to downsize, in my opinion, when you're in relationships that where you are not in the best of health and you have conflicts with your partner. This is one, in my belief, one of the circumstances that is trying to tell you that maybe your beliefs need to be adjusted and your thoughts need to be adjusted to be more in line with the Creator and your partner. Do you see that at all in some of the people that you're involved with or you deal with?
Well, not so much that, but what I understand about material things, it also carries energy. Yeah. And they become tools, or they become things that we use. So when we're, one of the things that I was thinking about as this conversation was going on was for me to look throughout my house, because I go through a purging process fairly regularly. And the things that I typically purge are things that no longer serve me, and or things that have a still kind of a negative charge to it. And occasionally I find those things throughout my home. And so I look to purge those things. And also when things become kind of cluttery, and you mentioned that as well, where the household gets cluttery. One of the things that I battle with often is my challenge is the paper that comes into my house through the mail system, and purging those right away, because I get a lot of advertisement and a lot of things like that. So I'm not sure if that's getting off track, but I think the mental or the material things that we have are tools, and we know when those tools no longer serve, we definitely should let them go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things I'm learning to do is put everything on the computer. It's a new knowledge and education for me to digitalize everything, stop holding on the paper, and find some way to either put it on my phone, which is very interesting how many things you can put on your phone, or put it on my computer. And I have made a decision. I love books. I had three bookcases full of books in my four-bedroom house before I sold it. I got rid of at least one or bookcase. Now I'm down to two, and I have to get rid of a lot of books. So I made a commitment to not buy any more books. All my books are e-books or Kindle on my Mac now. And so it's been pretty easy, because we're in such a technology, a place of advanced technology, that we can do that. But we have to change our belief systems. It's no more holding on to books, because they're taking up too much space for me now. And so unless I'm going to build a library in my new place, I have to find a way to reduce my number of books in my house. As much as I love to read, I can still do that, but I have to do it on my computer now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm changing that belief system.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thought, because part of the belief system around books was a show of signs of intelligence. So
yes,
if you had a whole row of books on your walls, and if you read a majority of those books, someone walk into your home and they see, wow, you know, you've read a lot of books, and they associate that to a science of intelligence, which is an old belief system that's now changing because of the computer system that you're now speaking of, and things can be stored there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many of us had an encyclopedia set when we were growing up? And we did most of our homework by using the encyclopedia. Do we need encyclopedias now? No, we've got Google. Is there anything we can't find on Google or Bing or whatever the other ones are? No, we can find everything on that computer. So I have clients who still have encyclopedias, and I get the dust off of it every 2 weeks because nobody's using it. But why are we holding on to encyclopedias? Like you just said, it's kind of a sign that we're intelligent and that we read and we study. But actually, holding on to encyclopedias nowadays is a sign that you're behind the times. And you need to catch up by getting to Google and using your computer more often.
Wow.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. So what would be an ideal situation of moving into a downsized condition where you're still living comfortably? And let's say that you do have money coming in and you can support whatever household structure you want to support. And how would downsizing look as far as maybe the home or as far as the furniture or your physical surrounding? I would really be interested in some insight in that.
Well, I'm glad you asked because Sister AZ and I have been talking about my tiny house. I bought a tiny house. I divorced, my ex and I divorced, and then we sold our house this year. And part of the proceeds, I decided I was going to buy a tiny house because I've been reading so much about tiny houses. So I found in my area about 45 miles from me a guy who builds tiny houses for people all over this country. I'm amazed that he builds them, and people from Maine, from Michigan, they come down here with a truck and they tow that house away on wheels. These are tiny houses on wheels. So I am now faced with fitting everything I own into 160 square feet of space. And so
160?
Yeah, 160. Wow. I went from over 2,000 square feet in my four-bedroom house to now I'm in probably about 1,000 in a two-bedroom condo, and now I have to get down to 160 square feet. So what that answer your question, what that looks like is, the tiny house is built very efficiently for storage, for a bed on top of a bathtub, on top of a sofa, you know, all in one little corner, and then your kitchen is only so small. You've got, compared to the kitchen I did have, it's down to a sink and two counters, basically, and some cabinets, and then a small bathroom, and then storage is minimal. So I'm looking at getting rid of my big sofa. I don't need a sofa. I'm going to have a small sofa that's already built in. I'm looking at getting rid of chairs and tables and keeping pillows and even getting rid of the beds that I have. I'm hoping to either give them away or store them in a house, my ex's house that he's buying. My ex decided he didn't want to get smaller. He's buying another four-bedroom two-bath house instead of three-bath and about half the space. But I'm looking at giving things away. It's so freeing to me, brother, that I can not see the need for these things anymore. And that, as I was sharing with AZ at the beginning of the show, I found a place that where tiny houses are being parked that is also teaching the homeless. This park has built tiny houses, not on wheels, but in like efficiency houses to teach people how to live in smaller spaces. That's what they do on this property. And then people can park their RVs there as well as tiny houses. So it's a mixture of tiny houses and RVs, people on the move, not in one spot. They're there maybe 6 weeks, 6 months, and then they're on the move again. And so my priorities are get ready to teach. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I'm not here to store furniture. I'm not here to buy more clothes and more shoes. I have clothes in my closet, brother, that I don't even wear. I can look at some clothes and say I have not worn these clothes in over 2 years. That's a sign to me that I need to get rid of them. So I'm looking right now of getting rid of clothes that I haven't worn in over a year. And guess what? If I need them, I'm trusting my creator to bring me a new outfit. Or I run down to the thrift store and get a new outfit for $3. That's the way I shop now. I don't go to Macy's and Dillard's and all those big stores. I go to thrift stores and find the best bargains. People put clothes in those thrift stores that never even been worn, and you can buy them for $5 or $6.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Again, my belief system is really changing. After 30, I was married for 36 years, and the values that I had in those 36 years had got turned over upside down and out the window, and now I'm more about living my purpose. Why am I here? You know, you soul search in a marriage that becomes difficult, trying to figure out, what am I here? Why? I've had two children. Now what do I do? I've got a granddaughter, so that's a good focus. But all this material stuff, out the door, out the window, give it away. I don't even know if I want to sell it all. I just want to get rid of it now because the belief systems in my mind have changed and given me a desire to help others who are struggling with whatever they're struggling, whether it's addictions or space or no home. And it's just looking at all the stuff that I'm not using every day. And since I'm on my own, I don't have a partner right now, and it's just me, I don't need everything that I had in a four-bedroom house. And I'm not concerned about entertaining and holiday dinners and what if company comes over. And it's like, well, there's hotels, and I have some space that people can come and have a meal with me. And I believe the quality of the relationships in my new tiny house will be so much better. I don't have cable. I will have an internet hookup, of course, but I will have no cable. We will have face-to-face conversations about what's important in this life. And so I hope that answers your question about what that looks like.
Yeah, it gives an extremely good visual with that, and it sounds like then that this moving into a tiny house, and it sounds like the people that you want to work with, it kind of gives you that framework and that focus to interact. Is that kind of where you're going with this?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have that in my marriage. My marriage was cold and my ex interacted with the TV more than he interacted with me. And I'm not, I have more respect for him now than ever because I realize he had challenges in his young life that he didn't want to deal with. And so I grew to understand that people who don't want to interact with you, it's because they have their own suffering and pain inside that they haven't dealt with. And they're not able to open up and be honest and tell you how they're feeling. And so that was a big lesson to me to kind of back off, not try and control people anymore, and just let people take their time to heal and to discover that there's more to life than using your remote to change channels and numb your pain. And use, because the TV is a lot of times used as medicine for people.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what they want to do, then I have to find another life because that's not me. And I have more in me to give and interact. Like you say, I'm more into interacting with people, having some tea and a good meal and talking over a glass of wine or something and getting to know people. And it's like when I went to Arizona to visit my sister, Mom AZ, we didn't have time for any TV. We had work to do. We were traveling and going and moving and doing sacred fires and getting to know who we were. And we had such interaction that we're now true sisters, and not just in this life, but we know we were in another life. So
that's,
I think,
right.
That's where we develop the peace within. When we meet people like I did in Arizona, we know that we're on the right trail, the Buffalo Trail. Keep moving,
mm-hmm.
and talk to your ancestors and keep helping others and do what you know you've been called to do.
Like Rawhide, you know, when Rawhide says,
"Get
him up! Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Yep, that's right.
I love it. And Brother Keith, let me share this with you. When I first connected with Sister Viata, it was through another brother here. And over the time that we were interacting, Sister and I, from Jump Street, when she connected with Brother L.A., I knew that she and I had been in many lives together and not from this planet, you see. And what I know with all of my being, that what Sister Viata is getting ready to do with my help, we are going to develop a store, a concept that will teach young babies, young people from the ages of 7 to 12 or maybe 15 how to create tiny houses decor or tiny home decor. I'm seeing that. And even with everyone's input, how to teach the elders to downsize.
Mm-hmm.
That's a company. That's a business that the young people can have. And right now, this is one of the aspects that I am working on as we speak. So I see a lot from this. Because I've taught since I was 22, and I'm going on 64 now, sewing. And I just had a sister just leave, and I'm looking at us teaching. When she gets to a certain level, then she can be able to guide others on this machinery here. And this is why this is so important that I find a way to go back home to bring the additional equipment that I have, because there's already a textile company here. It's called Mr. G's Attic. And I'll send you a picture of the sister that was sitting there doing her curtain. So I see a lot. We have a way to reach out to other like-minded people who know they need to downsize. That's a business. And if we can teach other young people to be able to jump on a plane, take a bus, a train, a car, to go to another elder spot, to assist them in downsizing. I'm seeing all of this. I saw this when Sister Viata was something that she said, and she has sole purpose in her business, you know, with her cleaning products. I said, holy moly, this can go to the nth degree. I see this, Brother Keith. I see this. Period.
Yeah, this it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you hear what I'm saying? You understand what I just said?
Yes, I do. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely a beautiful thing. I know for me, as I was thinking about this, and when I moved down to Phoenix, I too have 2,000 square foot home, and when I moved to Phoenix, I was there for 16 months, and the first place I stayed, it was about 300 square feet. Now, I did determine, I have to admit, I did determine that was a little too small for me, so I moved to, and I was staying in hotels, actually. And I went to this one hotel that had a 500 square foot home. And so it was kind of like a bachelor place, so to speak. And it had its bed, and it did have a full kitchen, and I had my desk to work on, and I had a window to look out of. And I was comfortable with that. You know, and that took out... let's see, from 2,000 to 500, what is that, about 60% of my, 40% of my living space, which was a pretty good size. But I know I was able to function and manage, and I did feel comfortable in that amount of space. So I think that for me, I could get comfortable with half for sure of what I have, which would probably put me at about 1,000 square feet. For me, at 100, I don't know. But I hear you. I hear you with the downsizing and the importance of being able to just get up and leave. So one of the things that I do want to ask that one of the things that ties people down is mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
So with so in moving into this size home, it seemed like it would be advantageous to have the place bought and paid for. Is there any thoughts, ideas with that you have on that?
Oh, yeah, it is bought and paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Because we sold our house and split the proceeds after the divorce. So that was one of the first things I thought about, is I did not want to be paying rent for the rest of my life. And how was I going to do that? I didn't really have enough money, of course, to buy the same size house. I didn't want the same size house, but I wanted a home that was mortgage-free. So that's what the tiny house allows me to do, is I don't have a mortgage or I don't have to pay rent. I just have to lease land, though. And then eventually I would like to build a bigger tiny house, but I think for the size of this house is perfect to do the teaching that's needed in this area and help people downsize to a smaller space and become more organized. See, I'm organized anyway. I'm a more organized. My profession is house cleaning and professional organizing, and I'm a nutritionist and a life coach. So I have to practice what I'm teaching and what I do for a living. And this is just taking it to a whole nother level, to live in a tiny space like this. I have to not just be organized, but I have to evaluate what I believe in and what I need to survive. And for me, the most important items that I need are a juicer and a blender, because I do not believe in hospitals or doctors. That's not even in my thought. I have enough knowledge and wisdom to take care of my body, and I listen to my body. I wrote a book called My Body's Talking to Me, and that title says it all. When my body is in pain, I know I have to stop eating certain foods. I had guests this past weekend, and we were eating out every night, going to Disney, and my body was suffering after that. I had never had so much.
Now, you know better, Sister Bianca.
I know. And I was eating pretty healthy, but you know what I find out is they put these additives in food. When you eat out fast food, they add all kinds of fiber and things that your body really does not need. And so where you usually get a reaction is in your colon, is it gets gassy and bloated and inflamed, and then that's when you have to stop and get back to the juicer and the blender and the raw food. So I try and be at least 80% raw. So my values are taking care of my body first so that I can help others. I'm no use to anyone if I'm not well in my body and strong. So I'm always thinking, have to take care of me first, and all this furniture and stuff has nothing to do with taking care of me. Because
I need
is a yoga mat. I need a yoga mat and a blender and a juicer.
I really like this, because also you're talking about downsizing in what you eat.
Yes, exactly.
And then begin to choose through belief system, through your value system, such as the value of health, downsizing to where you're just eating nutritional good food.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because most people, they eat for comfort, and that's where your budget is higher. because you're eating for comfort. You got to have the chips and the hot dogs and the whatever, which is not for feeding the body for health. It's just comfort food, ice cream, mm-hmm. all those things are comfort food. So when you eliminate the comfort foods, your budget goes way down. But people are have that's the downsizing struggle in the, like you said, in the eating department, is getting rid of the comfort foods, especially sugar. Sugar's a big one for our country even, and it's based on slave plantation. That plantation, sugar plantation, was built up on slave labor, and we're all slaves to that sugar now. We have, most people are truly addicted to it. And once I came to understanding that I was addicted to it, then I'm more aware of staying away from it, because it's like mm-hmm. a drug for me. I get one little cookie and I got to eat the whole bag. I went through that struggle for a long time. Is just one little bite of a dessert and I got to have three or four more because that addiction was there.
Well, so you remember that old program. You remember that old program addiction with Lay's potato chip? I bet you can't eat just one.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a nasty little program.
Yeah. And they had so that you couldn't eat just one. They put subliminal effect of all of that. Good grief. Yeah, you could. What was good? Next thing you know.
Yeah. And it wasn't just potatoes in that potato chip. Yeah.
They
put more potatoes in that bag.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So I have to ask once again. I'm a student of value systems. And so we've talked about the physical downsizing, and you also talked about the downsizing and how we eat and moving towards a nutritional, a healthier body, so you can help other people and show them a healthy way of living through downsizing. Where else would you look at downsizing?
Well, I think in what we call entertainment. I don't have cable anymore. My house, my 2,600 square foot, had three TVs in the house and cable on at least two of those TVs. And so that's where my family spent most of their time. And when they weren't on their phones, my son at least, it was the cable. There were, you know how many cable channels you can get now on one TV? It's ridiculous. There's a good downsizer right there. My decision was no cable whatsoever. I don't need it. I don't want it, because my ex showed me that how addictive that could be, especially if you're struggling with your own health issues or mental issues or whatever. So all I have is Netflix and Hulu Plus, I think it is. And I watch maybe two shows on there when I'm, you know, needing to sit down and just relax. But no cable. I'm done with cable, and I'm just using internet. And so downsizing in our entertainment, because what are we feeding our thoughts and our beliefs? Because our beliefs become thoughts. And so what are we feeding? How are we going to get to the values that we want to mirror of our creator, if we're feeding these beliefs from Hollywood and from the media? Oh my goodness, what the media is feeding people these days is fear and division.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. What I was going to say, like Mama Z, she was on our conference call yesterday evening, and one of the things I talked about is television, and I like to break up words to kind of display what the real meaning of it is. So with television, if you spell it TELLAVISION, it becomes tell-a-vision, and that's what television does. It tells a vision. And these visions are actually programs that becomes belief systems, and then it starts supporting thoughts, and you find other associations to those particular type of beliefs.
I mean, you look at just looking at Sandra Bland, for example. We talked about that on one show. All the words that came out of that woman's mouth, and no one was talking about that. All they were hearing, all they were seeing, was that she was a victim, and you know, Black Lives Matter. But what about the words? That to me was the spiritual element of that whole, the dynamics of that woman's journey and her death, is that her words created such negative energy. That, and then her life, we looked at her life with emphysema. What was it, AZ, that we said she had? She was struggling with some
epilepsy.
And we looked that up in this book that I have called Heal Your Body by Louise Hay.
Louise Hay, yep. Mm-hmm.
And she talks about, she put it exactly what was going on spiritually with that young lady, was her desire to end her life, basically, was what she was saying epilepsy was a desire to end it all. It was just having these thoughts of negativity behind epilepsy. So, but nobody, but everyone kind of ignored that. And it was like the elephant in the room to me is the words, all those words that she used. So there's an instance to me where downsizing from what you're watching on television and the media can help you see higher perspective on everything and not be a victim, but be empowered to make changes in your life and learn the lessons. If we don't learn the lessons, they're going to come again and again and again.
Absolutely.
If we stop playing the victim role and say, oh, we better change the way we speak to people and be more compassionate and respectful and loving, and then we won't have to be thinking about hanging ourselves in a jail or anything like that. But that's a big one.
Yeah, because I think one of the words that Sandra, according to her mother, was that she was going to help change the movement and Black-white relationships, I think, was one of the things that her mom has said the reason to go to, that she was going to Texas.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, actually, I saw that on Al Sharpton in one of his clips, interviews with her.
Yeah.
And she had made that kind of a statement, and even Al Sharpton tripped on it and said, wow. You know, and just how all this stuff that kind of plays out and plays into really what we're manifesting, you know, and we do have to become very responsible for the words we speak and how we're believing, for sure.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? I think her death has changed the black-white relationships. Once again, we became aware and conscious of this conflict that keeps coming up. And the media, mostly, the media keeps promoting this division. And then, so she did, in some small way, I think she's done that, changed the way we react or respond to people of a different color of face, which is so irrelevant these days. Until we get out of judging people by their skin color, we're going to have these same, the media is going to build it up again because they love to do that. Until we don't react to the race issue anymore, then they won't have anything, it won't interest us to hear about conflicts like that. Oh, that's irrelevant. It's not about black, white. It's about the spirit within. So
I have one. I just thought of something. How about downsizing hatred?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Most definitely, Brother Keith. That's why I kind of had to not be on the blog talk so much, because it was really vexing my spirit. And I said, the heck with this. Let me get ready for my class. and put my energies into grooming my porch and sweeping the leaves and doing my affirmations and my prayers. You're correct, Brother Keith. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for, you know, black folks, melanin people, that's a big one, downsizing the hatred, because we have been reacting to other people's issues of negativity and hatred, and then we become the same way, and that's not productive at all. You know, my dad grew up in Jim Crow South in Louisiana in the late 20s,
mm-hmm.
early 30s, and his mother always told him, you don't have a problem, they do. Whenever they experienced the racism and the segregation, she programmed him from a very young age that they have a problem, not you. And so every time he encountered racism or negativity or hatred, he always looked at them like with pity, like that person has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was never hating them because they were mean to him. It was like, wow, they really have a problem. And he'd move
mm-hmm.
on, and he's today living 90 years old. He's in fairly good health and breathing and the most wise person I know. So you're right, that's a biggie, downsizing hatred from our history
yes.
on forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not letting all that negativity come forward in our beliefs and thoughts that we have to be the same way, that we have to let go of it, downsize it, and get into a love mode with and compassion with everybody, no matter what color they are, because we're all struggling with something. And we all need downsizing, so we might as well just help one another to downsize instead of struggling
mm-hmm.
with the hatred.
Well, I know I appreciate this. Yeah, I really appreciate this topic because it has expanded my awareness on many different levels than just the physical element, but just to really look at it from, wow, what are the things I can really start purging here that deals in all this stuff with television. I too don't have cable, and just look at things that really educates me. You know, I'm
yeah.
definitely interested in the higher learning.
Yeah.
And so when we get rid of stuff, and then it's more of an acceptance of bringing that new energy in, right? And
right.
a higher level of awareness in. So I really thank you for this topic.
Well, thank you.
Thank us. Yes.
Yeah.
For you even participating. And I didn't have the opportunity because I was having class to reach out to Brother Shahid so that he could chime in. However, I will reach out to him to put him on notice about this. This is excellent. Now, Sister Viata, Brother Keith, what do you see in Seattle and Florida as far as having a network, an extended family from coast to coast that are on the same page with downsizing? What would be your mode to bring that to fruition? Socially, how would you go about connecting people who are in that mindset in a major, major way?
Well, there are several Facebook pages on tiny houses. It's a very big movement right now globally, not just in America, but globally. And I think that's one of the best ways to connect, because I put my tiny house on there just for sale, and I got at least four or five people asking, well, what's it look like on the inside, and where are you going to put it? And so the questions came up. So that's one way, I think, in Florida is or anywhere, is Facebook or your social media. Use it. use it for the enhancement or the growth of this movement, not just to be socializing and, hey, what's going on, and listening to this music or that, but to use it to promote what the universe is trying to promote in us. And like the brother said, love, downsizing hate. And every time somebody posts a hateful comment, I come right back with some love and some universal truth and reaping and sowing. My job on this earth is to remind people of the universal law of reaping and sowing. It's amazing how many people are not conscious and aware that the seeds you plant are going to come back at you. Even with the law of attraction out there and all these teachings we've had in the last 10 years or so, people are still very ignorant of the law of reaping and sowing, of karma. So every time on social media, when there's negativity or hate, I go back with the universal law. You're going to reap what you sow. Don't worry about those people. Don't worry about that person. Don't worry about that. They're going to reap what they sow. Just watch. They're going to get what they deserve. So that would be my answer. I don't know, what about in Seattle?
Well, I think now I've heard other shows similar where they talked about downsizing, and the focus was 50 and older.
Uh-huh.
It was an age group that this sister she focused in on. And she targeted from 50 and older to look at downsizing. And I think that's an appropriate age, because our values do change once we reach whatever that mark is for that person. And it seems to be around that age group where people are looking at some alternatives in life. So they've done that, and they're getting grandkids, and they may not be moving around as fast as they used to, whatever the reasons. But it seems that around that age group that this would be a target to talk to people about these type of downsizing. It becomes that around this age of 50 where it's important to really kind of look and focus in on your health. You know, what is your body saying to you? And downsizing to eat the right foods and so on and so forth, purging all those memorabilia and things that might no longer apply to you or may harbor some negative energy. Yeah, to start getting rid of those things. And I think people at that age are more open to that than, say, our younger generation, although I'm sure the younger generation are looking into this as well.
Now, do you have connections with an older population of people in your area, or is that just what you feel should be done in general?
I do. I, too, am in my 60s, so... yeah, so I know that group, and lots of people in that group. So, and matter of fact, the next time I meet with this certain group that I meet with, I'll ask them about that and focus in on how they feel about the topic and what do they think about downsizing, you know, in these realms that we talked about tonight.
Well, yeah, because there's a connection with the health of a person and the clutter in their life. Because I had a friend who was having seizures, brain seizures, all the time. She was on medication, and I had never been to her home. And when I finally got to her house, I was grieved. It was a hoarder's house. You couldn't see the kitchen counter. You couldn't see. I didn't even know she had a living room, because there were things stacked up so high. And then when I tried to clean out her bedroom, she had newspapers on the floor, a list of newspapers. There were roaches underneath the newspaper. That was my first experience with a hoarder, and I just wanted to cry, because she was not willing to see the need to detach from these things until she had an infection in her brain and they took out half her skull, so that she had a hole in her skull. It got to such a bad state of health. And I couldn't help but say, there's got to be a connection with this hoarding and the person's health, because she had lots of health issues. And so that's where we come in, just to observe and learn that, yeah, this is affecting your health, that you're hoarding things, especially when it's at a point where roaches are underneath the sofa and all kinds of unsafe, unhealthy conditions in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the age. So there's a connection between a person's health and their environment on the outside of them, as well as the inside, the mental, physical, spiritual part on the inside and the outside environment is affecting a person's health.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate you sharing that, Sister Viata, and I'm with you, Sister. I ask my higher selves every day to continue to give me the wisdom of detachment and all that is necessary for me to move forward with ease, because there is a need, and I see that. And today was an extremely powerful day, and I learned a lot with chiming in on the conference last evening. And it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And what we must do is just reach out to only like-minded people. Because I'm finding there's really no need. It takes too much energy to connect with one that you have to end up like dragging a ball in a chain. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's not their assignment to do what we came to the planet to do. They have their own assignments, and we have to just let go and let the Most High hang with those ones, you know? And that's what I'm learning.
And we have a teaching from Matt Kahn that helps us to recalibrate and transform. So maybe we could end with this teaching from our brother Matt Kahn on adjusting our nervous system and the light that we are. We take 3 deep breaths at the beginning. And we repeat the words that were given to him, that were downloaded to him from the cosmos, from the heavens. We say, I allow the nervous system.
I allow the nervous system.
To recalibrate.
To recalibrate.
And transform.
And transform.
Into pure crystalline light.
Into pure crystalline light.
Light.
As I am now.
As I am now.
We take 3 more deep breaths. And then the second prayer is, I welcome the light body.
I welcome the light body.
I trust the light body.
I trust the light body.
I am the light body.
I am the light body.
The light body I am.
The light body I am.
And we absorb all those beautiful, empowering words with 3 deep breaths. And we say, Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right.
So I thank you both for participating in this Trinity of Sorts of confirmation and healing. It's been very healing to me to hear your voices coming through with conversation and encouragement and truth. We're speaking truth here, which will last forever. I was reading it today in my meditation that truth lasts forever, but lies don't last for even a moment. They're just going to be gone with the wind. So as long as we're speaking truth, this is what we need to be doing. And like the brother said, downsize hate. That's the big message, is downsize hate and upgrade love.
Absolutely.
That's right. I give thanks, sister. I give thanks, my brother.
I give thanks.
Send this, Brother Keith, send this to Brother Shahid, this information, so he can go back and listen to this podcast. Because you know how to do that with your contraption, I'm sure. Just reach out to him, because I know he's connected to you in a powerful way. So,
may the two of you guys definitely continue on this mission that you guys have interlocked with from a higher reality. And if I can be of assistance, please let me know.
Well, I can tell you this, sir. No doubt about it. I'm looking for a truck because I would like to be on my route by next week.
Okay, I'll check into that.
Check into that, and I give thanks for your wisdom and everything that you are about, Brother Keith. And I give thanks to my sister Momin, because that's how we connected, you and I. And now you're here with Sister Viata.
Beautiful people.
Hallelujah. Beautiful people. Until next time, we're back on Sunday, every Sunday at 8 o'clock with Soul Purpose Healing. And I will send you a text reminder if you like. And we talk the same enlightening, empowering speech to come back into alignment of our Creator's love, wisdom, and overstanding. So both of you have a beautiful...
One second, Sister Viata. Actually, I had spoken to Brother Keith when he was here. I reached out to him, but he was in the middle of transitioning, going back to Seattle. I'd like to see if he could be a guest on your Sunday show.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
So we'll connect. I have your phone number. Is this your cell phone?
This is my cell phone. You can reach me at this number.
Okay. I will connect with you, and we can come up with a topic and some bio on you and a headshot and all that to put you on the page if you like.
That would be fine. I used to do talk show radio. I'm ready to actually get back in it again, so I enjoy delivering messages.
Oh, well, that's
okay.
Awesome. All right, let's move forward.
Let
that work
move
to do.
Forward.
Hallelujah.
All right.
All right.
Thank
here
you, guys.
I am thank light.
You. All right, I am light. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh.